Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show!
Number one family show in all of the universe. His name is Jack Hatfield.
That is right, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, wow, wow. New Year 2011. Happy New Year to all of the listeners. It has been so long since we have been together. I have missed you. I certainly think that you have missed me, as told by most of the emails going, where are you? What are you doing? What's going on? Where's the show? I can't live without the show. Well, I can't either. And that is why new time, same channel. But new time and longer, gosh, that is the best part, ladies and gentlemen, because if you recall, all of last year, during every show, we would be talking, we would be doing stuff and hanging out, and then all of a sudden it'd be, it's over, see you, have a good one, bye, click. But now, here in 2011, here we are. 2-hour show from now on, and it comes on Tuesdays live right now at 8 o'clock prime time. I am not kidding here. This is absolutely stunning. I cannot be more happy about this. I am so excited. I, again, apologize for being gone for so long. The holidays, wow, not enough can be said about how the holidays just rushed through. And Santa brought me a wonderful little present of some, I don't know, some pain in my abdomen. And really thought we were going to have that wonderful January 3rd surgery. But we got through that and we had no surgery. So here we are. Kicking tail, back again. You are, by the way, listening to Fix the Family, Fix America radio show, the number one family talk show in all of the universe. That's right, because we do our exclusive 4+1 method. That's right. We start with positive fathering, where when you father, making a positive difference by doing a positive change in your child's life, you will impact that child forever and for all that child comes in contact with. So that's positive fathering, fathers manning up and becoming dads. Second, we do Make a Difference Mothering, where mothers, if you pay attention and you do the best you possibly can, you will make a difference. And that is what's important. And then third, Pull Through Parenting. Two parents sitting there, sometimes at each other, sometimes going, how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, we pull you through. We pull you through for the parenting. And then finally, reveal your success. That's right. your individual success. When you have success, the family has success, and you have no stress. You go home, you're happy, you're understanding where your peace lies, and you hug, kiss, and sit in wonderful splendor. What a fabulous time. And the plus one, of course, is our disease and the diet workshops and shows and all kinds of stuff going on around the country where we prevent, stop, and heal degenerative diseases that are crushing families across this country, crushing families across the world. Why is it that 2011 will be the first year that degenerative diseases will kill more than acute illnesses? Why is that, people? Is it because there's more people? No. No, acute illnesses, for those who are wondering, are things like pneumonia, hepatitis, some kind of bacteria. Those are acute illnesses that cause an issue right then that you weren't expecting. Degenerative diseases are something that comes on slowly, beats at you slowly, and takes you down slowly. Diabetes, cancer, heart disease, those things. Why are those things taking over? Well, that's what we do here at the Disease and the Diet. But, again, let me tell you, I am so happy that you are here with me in 2011 on Fix the Family, Fix America Radio Network. We are going to have such fun this year on this show. All right, no more. We're going to talk a lot of serious stuff. I don't want to let you think that suddenly we are a comedy show. We've always been funny. We've always been hilarious. But we are going to have more fun than we possibly should have, I believe, on Fix the Family, Fix America. And we're going to do it with smiles on, giggles in our hearts, and all kinds of stuff. I'm not kidding. We are going to have a big, good, grand time. Everyone's happy about it. Everyone's happy. Now, this is going to be 2011, and this show, and our workshops, and going across the country, and you get to listen to me speak live and in as many venues as I could possibly get to. That is going to be the fun part of 2011, ladies and gentlemen. It is going to be astounding, and I do hope that you are looking forward to it as well. I've got to tell you, 2010 was pretty tough. 2010 was tough on a lot of people. A lot of people looked at me, years over with. And I look right back at them and I said, you know what? Me too. 2010 was tough for lots and lots of people. I look around. People come and talk to me. And while we work with degenerative diseases as well as fathers, mothers, parents, children, working with all of these families, everyone says, wow, 2010 was just the worst, lowest, toughest, most astounding time of my life. And I have to agree. It was stunning. As most of you know, my daughter's 6 years old. Without her, this year would have been mega tough. But, of course, it wasn't tough for her. She just thoroughly enjoyed every single day. And when you're having a bad day and you're having a rough moment, and you come home to absolute joy, makes you go, okay, there's still joy. I can find it, just have to look for it. And that's what I'm here to help you do, here at Fix the Family, Fix America, and all kinds of stuff. And I have so many news articles, we're probably going to run out of time on our new expanded two-hour lineup. I'm not kidding. But we have so many things to do. But as we did in 2010, we have the Pledge of Allegiance, because you know what's happening in schools today, ladies and gentlemen? You know what's happening, parents? Your children aren't getting what you got in school. They're getting bits and pieces of what you got in school. They don't stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of class anymore in school. No, that's That's of a bygone era. Where a bygone era is so bad, I want people to tell me why they're so bad. I don't think so, so let's do it. Pledge of Allegiance, everyone.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, that's right. That's a six-year-old talking that, and that is fabulous stuff. Pledge of Allegiance. Now, as you can read on our show, as we talk about it, I'm going to put this in perspective for you. Confucius said, to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. But to put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. That's right. Revealing your success getting you to be the personal success that you can be. Now, you're a better father or a better mother or someone that someone would want to make a family with. What if you're not a success? You're kind of a loser. Well, how many people want to make a family with that? And wow, there's plenty of those. But if you get successful and people go, you know what, I like that person, I think a family with that person would bring up good people. And that's what it's all about. So you cultivate your personal life and you become a success. Then the family becomes in order and you become a positive father or a make-a-difference mother. And if that doesn't work, we pull through your parenting. And now that family's in order. And you've got a family down the street that's in order. And you've got a family across the street that's in order. And suddenly your neighborhood's kind of cool. I don't know about you, but there's neighborhoods across this world where people don't even know who lives next to them. And if they do know who lives next to them, it's only because they went, hey, what's going on? How you doing? I'm Bob. I'm Jim. Good. Never talk again. But if you have families that are right in the neighborhood, suddenly that neighborhood's a good place to live. And people love it. And then suddenly neighborhoods grow, and you have two neighborhoods that are good places to live. Then three or four, and then suddenly that entire town is a good place to live. And then you go past town to a city, and that city's a good place to live. And then suddenly that state's a good place to live. And then we keep going across and across and across the nation until the nation is a good place to live. And then when this nation is a good place to live, another nation can be shown the correct way. And then as soon as all the nations are in order and living their best and most successful lives, then the world is right. So many people sit back and tell you, look inside yourself before you look and help others. And that's what you got to do. You got to reveal your success. You got to know you can do it. You got to have no fear. You got to have the want, the desire to be the best you can be. And I know you can. I have witnessed it. Remember, you have proof from me that you have everything you need to succeed inside you before you were born, because I've witnessed it. For those of you who don't know, new listeners in 2011, and by the way, you're going to have homework, new listeners and old listeners. You know what your homework is. But new listeners, my daughter was born premature. We sat by her side every day, 12 hours a day. Quit everything just to do that. And what she showed us is that the desire to succeed and survive is amazing inside you. You are the one holding that down. And I'm here to take that out, to uncover that childlike innocence that wants to burst out and be the best they can be. I know it can happen. I know you have it in you. Think about this. Think about this when times are tough and you've come through it pretty good. And you sit back and you look at yourself and you go, that was tough, but I made it. Now you know you can go through that tough, but guess what comes next? Something a little tougher. Something a little harder comes next. And you go, wow, this is really tough. But then suddenly you make it through that. And guess what? You now know you can make it through something tougher. So every time something tougher comes along, you know that you can make it through something tougher and tougher. And that's what the ideas of the mind can do as well. And that's why you, listening to this show, are going to be the best you can be. Because if I can give you an idea or open your mind to some of the stuff that's going on around you, because we're going to talk about news. This is a very long monologue. I understand that, opening monologue. But I wanted to get everyone involved and on board for this 2011, for this show. We're going to talk about things that's affecting you in your success. We're going to talk about things affecting you as a father, as a mother, as a parent, as a family unit. And then you're going to sit back, you're going to look at them, and we reveal the truth, and you go, wow. And then your mind's going to see a new idea. Once your mind is stretched to that new idea, guess what? You now have a new expanded mind, which then its goal and its ability to grow past that point is bigger than it was before. And you can see a new goal and a new place to expand. And because you didn't think you could expand to this point, suddenly you think that you may can expand to another point. And your ever-expanding mind becomes bigger with knowledge, bigger with power, bigger with success, bigger with confidence, and you go out there and you fix the family. And all the while, we fix America and the world. Let me tell you what I want you guys to do for one piece of your homework. Idel Omani interviewed me. She is the very first, I was the very first American crossed the pond. She's over in England, to be interviewed by this fantastic law of attraction specialist. She is a stunning. Now, you can listen to that interview, and I want you to. You have to hear this lady. You have to hear this lady. So go right now to not right now. What am I talking about? You need to listen to this show for the next 1 hour and 41 minutes. Stop. Okay. After you are done with this show and you sit down and digest what has been said and shown to you, because it's going to take a few minutes, because even after I'm done with this show, I have to sit down and go, what was that news thing? What in the world was that? When you're done with that, I'll give you the link to go listen to this next, that interview between her and I. Fantastic. She's going to be on this show. She's going to be on this show. I think it's February 1st. So get ready for just stunning, wonderful stuff. You want to talk about revealing your success? You want to talk about seeing what happens when you expand your mind? That's going to be good stuff. Now, we got some news to get to. We've got some stuff to get to. I know I've been gone. But I'm no longer going to put up with it, ladies and gentlemen. 2011 is going to be our year. It's going to be your year. Lots of things are going to happen. You're going to be able to see me all over the country. You're going to be able to see me at Disease and Diet workshops. You're going to be able to see me at Positive Fathering, Make a Difference Mothering, Pull Through Parenting workshops and seminars. You have so much to do to come see me. It's going to be fantastic. And I can't wait to see you. More and more and more people that I can help, then we're going to help. Now, you know what we got to do? We got to get some news. So sit back, take a break. Let's get to some news in a few seconds. Absolute first thing I've got to talk about, families, people, you have to listen to this. Yes, we all are very, very thankful of our computers in front of us. In fact, most of you are listening to this show on a computer, so without that computer, you couldn't be hearing me. And I have to say, without a computer, I couldn't even be talking to you. So we all know computers have done a great, 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 great thing. And we can honestly say, as much as we go crazy sometimes because of Windows' little idiosyncrasies, that Microsoft has given us an incredible operating system that has revolutionized the way we use computers. Let's be honest. Yes, Apple has a little niche. Yes, they have revolutionary computers when you like to draw. Yes, they do lots of stuff. So let's put them in the same category. Microsoft, Apple, wonderful stuff. One of those guys currently is on medical leave, and we do hope he is okay. The other guy, the guy who made this Windows in Microsoft, Bill Gates. Apparently, when you are a gazillionaire and you stand around and talk to a lot of other gazillionaires, a lot of people got a lot of time to think that they can sit around and cure the world of all its ails. Okay? Apparently, when you're a gazillionaire and you've got absolutely no concern over whether your electricity bill's paid or your mortgage is going to be made or if your child's going to be able to eat correctly, or in fact, you're not even worried about eating because it's going to be brought to you. Now, I'm not saying this is bad. Please do not grasp that. That is wonderful, and that's our goal. You understand this? A gazillionaire is our goal. Guess how many, let's say you want to do stuff. Okay? How is the best way for you to do stuff? It's for you to be a gazillionaire. Because you could do lots of stuff. Right? People come to me and go all the time. They say, you know what I want to do? I want to help kids that are trying to get through a disease. You know how much you could help kids if you're a gazillionaire? You could help them a lot, couldn't you? I have people come up to me all the time and go, I want to help animals that have been thrown onto the street. You know how many animals you can help when you're a gazillionaire? I can go ahead and tell you right now, you know what I'm happy about? If I'm a gigillionaire, food gets brought to me. I don't eat enough. That's what I'm looking forward to when I reach gigillionaire status. But I guarantee you that when I reach gigillionaire status, I'm not going to suddenly think that I am the be-all, cure-all for everything. Now, yes, as I'm up and coming gigillionaire, I have ideas for fixing the family and fixing America. And I want you to listen to them. And I wish that you would try them because they've been proven to work. But your life is your life. I can't help everyone. Some people look at me and go, you know, I'm not going to do it. But when you're a gigillionaire and you sit around and you think that you can do it all, and then you go actually say these words out loud, you have reached some incredible, inane status. Bill Gates, it's a very little tiny statement that he said. He said, you know what? Cell phones can track newborns for shots. That's not even a bad statement. Basically, he was talking about technology. Well, he's from technology, right? Started in technology. Good stuff. And he makes a small little statement like, hey, we could even track newborns for shots with cell phones. That's a very innocuous statement. As most of you know, your immunizations or vaccinations, if you choose to do them, and we're finding out more and more and more that sometimes that may not be the best route. All of the facts are not in yet, but some people believe in them very strongly. And if it is true, the vaccinations are helping the world. You all know that you have a child, you get your vaccination card, and you keep track of that. And when you go to school, they say, hey, can I see your vaccination record? And you go, yep, here it is. Well, Bill Gates, you want to take that little piece of paper, put it on your cell phone. That's it. That's all he was saying, right? No. 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 No, that's not what he's saying. This is the weird part. That innocuous little statement that cell phones can track your shots and vaccination. Right? He told the conference that the reason he wants to do that, the reason he thinks that you and your shot record and your piece of paper that you have to show people in school could then be on your cell phone is because the goal is a lower population. What did I do? Huh? What did... Hello? Hello? Testing? Hello? The goal is a lower population. Families, listen to me. Lower population. That means less of you. Now, one of your homeworks at the end of this day is to go tell everyone you know and meet and pass on the street that they need to listen to this show. Okay? That's your homework, new listeners. Old listeners, your homework is the same exact thing. But right after you tell them to listen to the show, you've got to grasp this one concept. He wants you to tell less people because he wants them not to be there. He wants a lower population. Because the goal is a lower population. And using vaccines to improve early childhood health is a step in that direction. What? His words, this sounds paradoxical. The fact is that within a decade of improving health outcomes, parents decide to have fewer children. That means he's saying that when you have a healthy baby, you go, well, you know what? I'm good with that one. He or she is good, got all 10 toes, 10 fingers, hadn't had any problems. I love it. What? How does that even go into the decision to have fewer children? Well, she's had all her shots, so I don't need any more. What? Okay, so, anyway, Bill Gates, that's right, Microsoft, Bill Gates, said that if every worldwide birth could be registered on a cell phone, that's right, your cell phone that you're carrying could suddenly be a device that you will be forced to use if you were to give birth to a child. And then that cell phone would be monitored by some government entity, some authority. Wish them all for or not. In fact, you will have no choice or say in the matter. Your cell phone will get a beep. New message. Your child is due for vaccination B. Wait. Get this. And he says if you don't bring them in, you get arrested. Or you get a visit. No big deal. No big deal. That's right. If you don't bring your kid in after you get the beep, the little test message, the reminder to your phone that your child's vaccinations are due. Oh, and by the way, he even said that the GPS device inside the phone could actually come find you when you don't bring your child in. Your GPS device inside your phone, when it goes beep and you don't bring your child in, they will locate your phone, come to you, and come get you and your child. What is fixed? This is his fix the family, fix population control. Let me show you how he goes around this. How he comes to this. Okay? First off, let's go back to just the cell phone vaccination thing. He touts the use of vaccine as a way to bring down the world's population. But let's go into the just the cell phone thing. He says if you could register every birth on a cell phone, get the fingerprints, get a location, then you could take the systems where you go around and make sure the immunizations happen. Run them in a more effective way. He said because vaccines are available today, if they would just be delivered and administered to those who are in need, it would make a difference on the world's health and population. He said there are about 8.5 million annual deaths among children from birth to age 5, down from 20 million in 1960. Let me throw this at you. 8.5 annual deaths among children, down from 20 million in 1960, is not caused by the improvement in vaccinations. It's caused by the improvement of health, parents, intelligence. He also said a third of the improvement has come from better food and housing conditions. Oh, yeah, we have better stuff. Everything's kind of better since it was in 1960. Don't you think the death should go down? You've learned about we have all of the issues before birth that we have to worry about so that we don't have premature birth. Then we have so many things going out saying, make sure your baby's buckled in, got a car seat. Now they're, you know, 5-pin strap, 5-point strapped into the car. You think that's helping a little bit? That has nothing to do with the vaccination. But he said the majority of the improvement is from vaccination. Why? No. Okay. No. Anyway, let's go into it. He said the tracking systems could allow the phone messages to the parents so they could bring their children in for vaccinations on a timely basis. And if you don't, the GPS device simply sends some people to your house to come get you. Now, here's where it gets weird. This is where it gets weird. What?
Yay!
Okay. He says, the goal of reducing the population is imperative, as problems with the environment, schools, nutrition, and societal unrest are insoluble at a growth rate of 3% a year. He said there will be no trees, animals, schools, jobs. Nobody can handle that type of situation. What? So, he says you could take the cell phone, record the birth, send the data, including biometric identifiers, to authorities. Because he believes that there cannot be a healthy, high population growth civilization. He says if you're healthy, you're low population growth. If you're healthy, you're low population growth. I cannot wrap my head around this. If he's saying that right now less children are dying since 1960, and he wants to give that same, listen to this logic, people, he wants to give the same thing that he thinks is the reason for less death to more children, which in turn would cause more less death, correct? If you have less death because of this item, and you were to make that item available to more people, you'd have more less death. This is why you listen to this show. This is logic. What he spoke of is not, but we're going to try to find it. So, he is saying vaccinations has caused less deaths since 1960 in children. And if we could get that vaccinations to more children, there would be even less death. And because of that less death, there will be less population growth. This item has caused people to die less. We give that item to more people, which in turn would make them die lesser. And that will cause less population growth. That logic is not even a circle. It goes in a circle all of a sudden, and then it just strays off to infinity, off here in space, up to the left-hand side. I want you to draw this circle for me. This item, we start right here. Just put your pen to the paper with me. This item causes less death since 1960. So we got 1960 less death we go around. Okay? We're going to get this item to more people because of his technology, right? So that seems going to cause even less death. So we're going to keep going around in a circle. And that less death is going to cause less population growth. Right there is where it could just shoot it off the page. Okay, what he's actually doing is saying that he doesn't want population to be big. Okay? Yes, that circle and the off-the-page logic is crazy. And the fact that I don't think not a single human being would go, you know what, that is a good idea. That if I don't vaccinate my child, then someone will come get me and my child and take care of it. Oh, and it's in a cell phone, which I could easily throw away. Let's not even get into the things that you can do to get around that. Let's go back to what he's trying to actually say. He's saying if we do a good job on vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we can lower our population growth by 10 or 15%. As you drew in the circle, the logic is not there, correct? But let's not forget where that line shoots off the paper at. His whole goal is less people. He's hiding his goal in this wonderful utopia of vaccination makes children live better. It's for the children. Isn't that a mantra you hear all the time? Families, yes, you need to be saying, I'm doing this for the children. I'm sitting at home teaching my child for the children. I'm sitting here teaching my child the correct ways to do things for the children, for generations to come, for not only my child not being a total loser, and I'm being nice with my words, it's 2011, we're trying to start off on a nice note. You understand that what you're doing inside your family is for the children, your child specifically, and for the other children that hopefully he meets in his lifetime, his or her lifetime. Okay? But this whole mantra of for the children doesn't seem to make sense when you get to his goal. His goal is less of you. Less of you. And it's not only his goal, what they found out. Remember, you're a gagillionaire. Your circle of friends is other gagillionaires. And he went and met with some gagillionaires. Now, he's had this idea for a while. In February 2009, Gates discussed population control. What? In May 2009, him and other gagillionaires, people like David Rockefeller, Ted Turner, Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett, George Soros, and Michael Bloomberg, all met and discussed population control. Bill Gates said, official projections say the world's population will peak at 9.3 billion, which is up from 6.6 billion today. But listen carefully. But with charitable initiatives, such as better reproductive health care, let's dissect those words. Charitable initiatives. Charitable means given. Given initiatives, given stuff, such as better reproductive health care. Reproductive health care. Is that better birthing? Is that better better rates of pregnancy? Is that less prematurity? Is that even a thing that anyone knows? Better reproductive health care? What does that mean? Anyway, here's the whole sentence. Official projections say the world's population will peak at 9.3 billion. This is what he said. But with charitable initiatives, in other words, stuff we give people, such as better reproductive health care, I don't know what that is. So we're going to give you better reproductive health care. I don't know about you, fathers, mothers, parents, listen to me carefully. I'm going to give you better reproductive health care. Can someone tell me what that is? No. Anyway. But with charitable initiatives such as better reproductive health care, this is the end of his sentence, we think we can cap that at $8.3 billion. So if he thinks that he, or they think that they, can cap you at $8.3 billion, in other words, cap the and I don't know what in reproduction is killing other than aborting. Or it could simply mean sterilize. And give it to you, by the way. Charitable initiatives. Free stuff. So, free killing? Is that what he's saying? What is he saying? It doesn't matter what he's saying. What matters is you have to grasp his whole concept. This is the guy that made the windows of the computer you're looking at right in front of you right now. The majority of the audience. Do you understand this? This guy was a nerd in a garage. Suddenly he's telling you there's too many of you. Let me go through this again. This guy sat in his garage, made some stupid windows come on a screen on a computer, made that into a big old industry. His gagillionaire tail, God, I want to say stuff. His gagillionaire tail is now sitting in his gagillionaire world thinking there's too many of you. And he wants to control it. Not only control it, control your cell phone, control your child, control your vaccination, control the way you are, but give it to you. Give you better reproductive health care called killing or sterilization, I guess, I don't know, and having less of you. This is a guy who worked on computers is now telling you there's too many of you. He wants less of you. Shut up now, all of you, less of you. But it's for the children. Let's go back to what he said. There was 8.5 million annual deaths among children from birth to five, down from 20 million in 1960. If we do better, we will have less death, and then therefore have less population. I understand it's very silent right now because I am as stunned as you are. I have read this article over and over and over, and I can't, the logic, the circle, the off the line, the off chart, way up there in outer space, cannot be grasped, but the overall concept of that there should be less of you should blow your mind. And all I'm doing is reading you what the man said. And then giving you some background. The background is, this is Bill Gates. This is the guy who made Windows. He worked on a computer. He sat in his girlish garage working on computers, making some of the greatest technology alive. No kidding, no lie. We talked about it at length earlier. Suddenly he's on stage and in meetings and talking for the last 3 years that he says we, think we can cap that at $8.3 billion. In other words, cap how big and large and annoying you people are. Do I need to say any more about this? And see, this is exactly why we made this show larger. Because the topics are getting humongous. This stuff was too big for an hour. We've doubled our amount of time in this show. Fix the Family, Fix America is now bulkier and hulkier and bigger than it's ever been, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, when a guy who sat there with his, what was it called? Coleco 8200, and he said 640K of RAM is enough for anyone. Then suddenly, later on in life, sits there and said there's enough of you, and that he needs to cap how many of you can be. There's a problem with that. I, for one, am part of the idea that there's enough abundance of success for as many people, as many items as we need on this planet. Let me throw to you this common fact. When you think about it, it's pretty amazing. Water. Water's everywhere. We all drink water. There's water in bottles at the store. There's water coming out your spigot at your house, unless it's been cut off. I understand 2010's been a hard year. But there's water coming out of the sky sometimes. Just last week, there was water just sitting around all over our yard, frozen. It was in a different form. Kept the beer cold. I mean, golden liquid beverage. But water, it seems, is everywhere. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There's no new water. Science isn't coming around going, you know, I just made some water today. Nope. But yet, you look around, and you go to the beach, and you look across that ocean, that's a lot of water. And there's no new water. It's all the water we got. The water is here. Find ways to get it, clean it out, drink it down. Water's here. We've done it since our inception. We found ways to make water available to every human being. Because guess what? If we couldn't get water from the ocean, from the rivers, from the streams, from the valleys, to where the places we need to be, where people are living, then those people wouldn't be living there. Because you know what they'd say? I'm real thirsty. Bill Gates, Windows creator, population control freak. Computer, maybe, or you're listening to it off of your MP3 player, whatever. Anyway, you just had a thought. You know, Bill Gates started in his garage. Bill Gates started in his garage and turned out to be a gigillionaire. And that is a grand idea, and you can do it also. So now you've got this great idea. You know what? I paint, so I'm becoming a painter. Or I program on Windows, so I'll become a programmer. I'll open my own business. I'll be the best darn whatever in the world. Well, let me tell you how you be the best darn whatever in the world faster. And that's by going to sandhill.sohooffice.com and telling those people you just started a business and you need a logo, letterhead, business cards, website, and social networking. And guess what? You can get it all. Guess what else they can do? You tell them, look, I need a laptop. I got to start running around. Okay, I can get you one of those too. That's right. This is a one-stop shop for the entrepreneur. There is nothing else like this. Yes, there's UPS stores. Yes, there's FedEx Kinko's. You can get a copy. Woo! But here at sandhill.sohooffice.com, you call them up, 803-736-5011. You tell them you need everything. And it'll be done faster and better than it ever could be. And guess what that gets you? That gets you on the road to your own gagillionaire status. And then when you become gagillionaire, you go hang around with other gagillionaires and they all sit around and go, we need less of those other people. And you go, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. I heard about this ignorance on a show. And my man, Jack, said no. And they're going to look at you and go, ooh, we haven't done enough to mess with his mind yet. But at least you're there. At least you're there because I've heard the food is very nice. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm kind of hungry. And they have lots of food at these things. And so in my gagillionaire status, I'm going to be very happy that there's a lot of food. Because I'm always hungry. I'm hungry now. But that's beside the point. Sandhill.sohooffice.com will get you on the road to being less hungry. Faster. Now let's get to it, people. We got more Fix the Family coming. Or something crazy like that. So anyway, welcome to the second hour. Yes, second hour, the new expanded, more hulkish edition. We're not green, however. I don't know what color we are. We are non-colored because we're in the ethos of the internet. But you can feel it. And if you were to touch us, you would feel twice as large as we used to be. And it's not because we're eating. As I said earlier, I'm hungry now. We are double in size. Fix the Family, Fix America, for those of you who are just tuning in. For those of you who have been listening, thank you for continuing to tune in. Remember, you can hear this show over and over and over again all throughout the week. But it airs live Tuesdays, 8 o'clock, prime time. And it is called Fix the Family, Fix America, and we are so glad you're here. So the second hour of Fix the Family, Fix America will begin the exact same way that the first hour goes.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix a Miracle Radio Show.
Number one family show in all of the universe. His name is Jack Hatfield.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Fix the Family double in size now. For your pleasure, we are 150% bigger. Fix the Family, Fix America comes to you because Confucius said to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To first put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. And that's why we do it in our exclusive 4+1 method. That includes positive fathering, making a positive difference as a father. Make a difference mothering, making a difference as a mother. Pull through parenting where we can pull you through all of your parenting problems. And then finally reveal your success where your success bleeds into everything else. Your family, your children, everything. And then our plus one is our exclusive disease in the diet series, where we reveal the secrets to stopping, healing, and preventing degenerative diseases across this country, affecting millions and millions of families, and becoming bigger and killing more people, degenerative diseases killing more people than acute illnesses for the first time in human history. That's right. That's what we do. Fix the Family, Fix America right here. I am your host, your humble host, for the first time in 2011, Jack Hatfield. Most of you know my story. Premature daughter comes out. I quit everything, sit by her side. She shows me the absolute true meaning of success and proves to me the mantra on the front of my second book. You have everything you need to succeed inside you before you were born. And that is the true natural success principles. And that's thus the title of the book. But enough about me, enough about the show, enough about all this. You're here and you have homework. That's right off the bat. That's like a teacher right when you walk, the bell rung, you're sitting down. She goes, all right, shut up. You have homework. Your homework is to go around and tell every human being you come in contact with, and not just contact. If you see another human being, you must run to them and tell them to come listen to this show. Because we're trying to put this country and this world in order, and we're going to do it by making you successful. And I promise you, if I can make 25 of you who've been listening to this show, gagillionaires, you can get up there and start whooping some tail. For those of you who listened to the last hour of the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, families, let me tell you why there might be a little problem in our families. You know, parents teaching their children. Let's just go into this one little headline here. First of all, they've launched a new campaign in Memphis. All right? They've launched a big new campaign at Fraser High School in Memphis. Okay? The campaign's called No Baby. No Baby.
Yeah!
to call no bail. Oh, okay. All right. Let's. Wow. I can't get over this one. The new campaign at Fraser High School in Memphis called No Baby. No Baby. I apologize. This is serious. It's called No. This is designed to educate both teenage girls and boys about how to prevent and deal. Yeah, let me put that together. Prevent and deal with unplanned pregnancies. Okay, so if you teach them how to prevent it, how can you also teach them how to deal? Okay, never mind. Anyway, the program's tailored to give girls confidence to just say no to sex. No baby. The reason they launched this campaign, ladies and gentlemen, the reason they had to launch this campaign at Fraser High School in Memphis is because there's 86 teens pregnant. I don't know about you, I had 110 people in my graduating class. That would put 86 of those pregnant. Now, again, this is all classes at one high school, so that would be 4 grades of high school, I believe, unless that's changed. I have no idea. But there's 86 girls pregnant. So Deborah Hester Harrison with Girls, Inc., a nonprofit group, says right now these girls don't know how to say no. She said they're having sex when they don't want to. They just don't know how to say no. Mark Goodman Bryan with the Urban Child Institute said a lot of these girls aren't developmentally ready to be really effective parents, and that affects the child's development. Do you think that's the case? Duh. Kids having kids and not really put out a lot of good kids. Let me throw these two statements at you. The new campaign called No Baby. Deborah Hester Harrison with Girls, Inc., a nonprofit group, says right now these girls don't know how to say no. They're having sex when they don't want to. They just don't know how to say no. So she said the same thing twice. The girls don't know how to say no. They just don't know how to say no. And in between those, they don't have know how to say no, is they're having sex when they don't want to. So because they don't know how to say no, they're having sex. The only reason. 86 girls don't know how to say no. No, baby! A lot of these girls aren't developmentally ready to be really effective parents, and that affects the child's development. Mark Goodman Bryan with the Urban Child Institute said that. He's saying that a lot of those 86 girls aren't developmentally ready because they're in high school to be really effective parents. He's saying that. And that's going to affect the child's development. Yeah, wouldn't you say? Aren't those two statements that really don't make any sense? Because it's kind of a duh. Last month, U.S. health officials released new government figures for 2009 showing 39 births per 1,000 girls ages 15 through 19. Get this, they say it's the lowest rate since records have been kept on the issue. Yet, teen pregnancy rate is far lower in many other countries. The most convincing explanation is that contraceptive use is much higher among teens in other countries. That's what they say. They've also said that the pregnancy rate in this particular city, Memphis, fluctuates between 15 and 20%, which is almost twice the national average. In that school zip code, Fraser High School, okay, the pregnancy rate is 26%. Harrison said they're looking at ways to combat it, and they're trying to combat it in an area where the need is the greatest. Now get this, in addition to the No Baby campaign, the school officials are also looking at ways to combat this problem by hiring new social workers, more people to say, no, baby. Why don't they just have some people walking down the hallway with a sign? No, baby. Put programs in place. Of course, you need new programs, as well as provide support for teenage moms. Wait. So what you're doing wasn't working, and 86 girls in your high school are pregnant right now. And your solution is no baby. And more of it. More people to say no baby. And more people to go tell the girls how to really say no. If we focus on education, which is the reason you're listening to this show, right? If we focus on education, we making stop this. Now, the new campaign, No Baby, is designed to try to get teen girls and boys to prevent pregnancies. Henry Taylor holds up a bald fist after we tell him how many girls at Fraser High School are pregnant or have had a baby in the last year. Taylor has a 15-year-old daughter at Fraser High, and she's on a tight leash. Okay? That's a father making a positive difference in his child's life. So, if sex education starts at home, education does not create teen pregnancies. Parenting helps lower teen birth rates, then the solution to this is not more of stuff by people just saying, no, baby. It's parents. Being parents. That's the crucial part. Parents being parents. So 86 teen pregnancies in one high school. That's telling me there's a lot of need for Fix the Family, Fix America to get its tail to Memphis. That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. And we will. This year, you will see Fix the Family, Positive Fathering, Make a Difference Mothering, Pull Through Parenting, and Reveal Your Success workshops and seminars all through the country. Disease and the diet already making its way through the country. Very important. We're going to get to some of those stories now. Now, we're running out of time again, and we're 50% larger. Here's something major you want to know, parents. Let's talk about all schools. They're now saying that the new guidelines will make school lunches healthier. There's a new proposal applying to lunches subsidized by the federal government. That would be the first major nutritional overhaul of school meals in 15 years. All right? It is requiring schools to cut sodium in the meals by more than half, use more whole grains, and serve low-fat milk. Limit kids to only one cup of starchy vegetables a week. What? Only one cup of starchy vegetables a week. That would be one cup of potatoes. Let me go ahead and be honest. That's the starchy vegetable everyone's talking about. And potatoes are not bad for you, people. They hold minerals of the earth inside them. But they're saying by limiting this, schools can't offer French fries every day. Oh. Apparently that was what was happening. While many schools are improving meals already, others are still serving children meals high in fat, salt, and calories, according to the National Academy of Science. Okay. So, these new guidelines will do this for your child if they're eating federalized school lunch programs. Your child will now have calorie limits in their school meal. The amount of sodium in the meal will be reduced by half. Trans fat, gone. More servings of fruit and vegetables. All milk to be low fat or non fat. All flavored milks must be non fat. So now, when you make chocolate milk and you add the sugar and the chocolate to make the milk the chocolate milk, you're not leaving in the fat in the milk that would offset the insulin burst that your body is going to get from drinking that chocolate milk, which is a very good product, by the way. I drink lots and lots of chocolate milk. But you understand what's about to happen. All the sugar and stuff in the flavored milks is all you're going to be drinking. There'll be no offsetting fat. So the kid's pancreas will now have to release insulin. Let me go back down this list. They will increase the amount of whole grains, eventually requiring most grains to be whole grains in your lunch. And they'll improve school breakfasts by requiring schools to serve a grain and a protein instead of one or the other. So now with your toast, you must have an egg instead of just toast, because that's what they were serving, apparently. Now, children, diabetes is on the rise. Diabetes is caused when your body cannot regulate your blood sugar. Your blood sugar is not affected by eating a fat or a protein. And I just said an entire list where protein was mentioned one time in your breakfast. And fat was mentioned three times to be eliminated. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think the outcome of this for the children concept is about to occur? Childhood diabetes is on the rise. Your blood sugar is not affected by a protein and a fat. But yet I just made a list where protein was mentioned once in breakfast and fats were mentioned four times to be eliminated. It's a scary thought, people. Are we really going after a solution? I think not. All right. Now, you want to know about some more bad parenting? High school in Memphis, right? Now let's go to Roswell, New Mexico. What? Aliens. Area 50 what? No, we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about... You remember when you were in third grade? You remember? You were in third grade. How old are you in third grade? Anyone know? Anyone? Anyone? Third grade? What are you, 7, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 9, let's go with 9, okay, you're 9, In third grade. You, me. We're sitting around in third grade, nine years old, going, yeah, girls have cooties. I like to throw stuff. Magnifying glasses are cool. Army men are awesome. Matchbox cars are pretty cool. Comic books are awesome. That's about what I remember at nine. Well, guess what's happening in Roswell, New Mexico, other than Area 54 and some aliens? They caught some third graders at Berendo Elementary School smoking the wacky weed in a bathroom. Let me rephrase that in another way. 2 9-year-olds in third grade getting their hands on marijuana and smoking it in the school. Sheriff's deputy asked one of the boys how many times he smoked pot. He said the boy replied he hit it hard a lot. Dude, I hit it hard a lot. I put it all together. My crew getting on me. I said Area 54. It's because I was thinking of Studio 54. It's a much better thought than an alien. Anyway. Hello, families. Someone, parents. Wake up. That's why we're here. Now, all of you listening out there in Roswell, to Fix the Family, Fix America, go find some parent across the street, next door, and go, please. Send them the address. Send them an email. Start sending this around. Fix the Family, Fix America radio show. Go like us on Facebook. Go like me on Facebook, Jack Hatfield. Go find me on Twitter. Get my tweets. My tweets, people. This stuff, you can, if you can't wait till Tuesday at 8 for all of this, you get it all throughout the week. All on Twitter and Facebook. You can have it. Go get it. And Roswell, New Mexico people, get out of Area 54. I mean Studio 54. I mean Area 51. And start parenting correctly. Okay? Can you do that for me? Third graders. Third graders, ladies and gentlemen. All right, quick break. Be right back. Well, in case you haven't heard, ladies and gentlemen, you're right. You got it. It is a big day. 2011, you knew it was going to be a better year for you because Starbucks just rolled out its Trenta, the biggest coffee size ever. It's 7 ounces larger than Venti. The Trenta. Yay. Sorry. Sorry to waste your moment with that, but that actually made big news, and lots of people were talking about it. That's right. They're talking about the Trenta at Starbucks versus 86 high school pregnancies in one Memphis high school, or third grader smoking pot, or The guy who made Windows telling you you should die. But no. The Trenta is big stuff. Big stuff. I got a lot of people. You people out there, I love you. Love you. And you send in lots of questions. And especially a lot of stuff about disease and the diet. And that's our plus one. That's our plus one. And that's important. But people ask, you know what? What can I do to be healthy? It's very simple. In a nutshell, disease in the diet is all about no engineered oils. No soy, no corn, no canola. Those are engineered oils that cannot be made without chemical and mechanical processes that cannot be done in your kitchen. And your body would never, ever be able to eat that much of those oils in its lifetime by consuming those products. You can't consume a tablespoon of corn oil from a bushel of corn. Not only would you die if you ate soybeans raw. That's right. The oil that's in over 188,000 products is made from a product, from a plant, that would kill you if you ate it raw. That makes it seem okay, right? I can't think of any other food that does that. Yes, you can get sick with raw meat because of other items in the meat, but the meat itself, fresh, is good for your body. Sushi, raw. Broccoli, raw. Oh, you can die from broccoli and raw onions because of bacteria and other stuff on it. But the soybean plant itself, not what's on it, would kill you. Go around your local grocery store, pick up something. Look at the ingredients. They have now, get this, ladies and gentlemen, you can't even buy your tuna without soy in it. Why in God's earth is the water-packed tuna have soy in it? You'd think, remember the old days tuna used to always come in vegetable oil? Well, that vegetable oil used to be vegetable oil, not soy oil, but now it's soy oil, soybean oil. But guess what? That wasn't enough. The soybean industry, which is a majorly massive industry, went over to the tuna people and said, hey, you're packing that stuff in water. Ha ha. You're an idiot. How about you put a little soy in that water? That way I can sell you more soy. And you use less water. It'll save you on water. We'll call it vegetable broth. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Water-packed tuna. The ingredients go like this. Grasp this. Tuna. That seems logical. Second one, water. Still perfect because right on the label it said water-packed tuna. So, you know, the ingredients are right on par. Then it goes vegetable broth. What? What? Why? Why would they do that? And then salt. Four seemingly innocuous ingredients. Well, guess what that vegetable broth has in it? Oh, they don't have to tell you. That's right. That vegetable broth can have a myriad of things. Without having to tell you. Because they do not have to list the individual product that was made in the vegetable broth. They simply can put vegetable broth. And in that vegetable broth and all of the tuna, they say enhances the flavor of the tuna. Well, in that vegetable broth can have lots of stuff. Beans, peas, celery, green and red bell peppers. All of this sounds great. Onions, parsley, garlic, carrots. Oh, but wait. The broth also generally contains a soy protein. That's right. Hydrolyzed soy protein. What? Whoa, whoa. Hydrolyzed soy protein. Remember in Disease and the Diet workshop number 6? Where we talk about excitotoxins? Hydrolyzed soy protein is another way to say monosodium glutamate. So they're giving you more flavor in your tuna by adding this wonderful little vegetable broth containing soy. $188,000 products and growing. The innocuous plant that would kill you if you eat it raw. That's why we do what we do. Because you don't know this. And if you did know it and you still go eat it, you're crazy. I have to admit, in over 180,000 items, you have to be very vigilant. If you want to not eat it, sometimes you're going to have no option. But if you can keep it down to a very, very, very small amount in your lifetime, you will be healthier. So that brings us to a big question that people ask. What can I eat to have be healthy? And then there's other questions. How do I eat for beautiful skin? Plenty of things. Oranges, vitamin C helps your skin. Red and green vegetables helps your skin. Beta carotene gives your skin a natural glow that you can many people attempt to go get in the sun or tanning salons. The most effective way to make your skin clear, okay, is to keep your insulin and leptin levels low if you want to maintain a youthful look. Because insulin and leptin resistance are major accelerants of the aging process. Go back to what I just said about the school lunches, where the insulin in your children will now go up and down, left and right, because the fat and the proteins are being eliminated in their diets. That's very important. Your liver, your kidneys, your adrenals, your thyroid, your small and large intestines all have to be working up to its best of its ability to remove the waste that would come out into the skin. And synthetic oils that I've been talking about, the soy, the corn, the canola, those are toxic to you. Spinach, broccoli, kale, dark green leafy vegetables, all of that stuff is awesome for your skin and your liver and your intestines. Your thyroid has to be in health. Guess what? Guess what's good for your thyroid? Coconut oil. Guess what the entire soy industry attacked when they came on the planet? Coconut oil. Coconut oil has so many antioxidants inside it, it can sit on your counter and not rot. Put soybean oil, corn oil, or anything else in a container on your counter for a week and watch what happens. That's just a nutshell of how the plus one works. Disease and the Diet. For those of you new listeners, this is the second hour. I'm trying to get into a little more details on how the things work. Positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, reveal your success, and finally, disease in the diet. We talk about all kinds of stuff that you can eat and we don't eat. We uncover the truths and non-truths, the fiction and the facts in all of the marketing that's out there. So that you can make wonderful decisions for your family so that your family is not affected by degenerative diseases. That's very crucial. Other things we talk about, do toning shoes work? They work for the first couple times you turn them on, ladies and gentlemen. Turn them on. Put them on. Okay? First couple times you put them on. But then your muscles adjust. And then they don't work anymore. So do they work? Yes, temporarily. So there you go. They work temporarily. They don't work after that. We're going to go through many, 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 many things in the course of this show all year long. Happens on Tuesdays, 8 o'clock. I really want you to be here. 2010 was very tough on a lot of people. I've never had more people tell me that they were happy to see a year go away. Never. Now, we just talked about how they're going to control calories in your children's lunches. But there was a study in Washington that customers going there, when they posted the calories on the menus, it had little effect on what customers bought. Customers at a taco time in Western Washington, this is a Western Washington taco chain, okay? They read how many calories were in their chimichangas, burritos, and tacos on the restaurant menu. They were just as likely to order them as people who didn't have that information. For 13 months, researchers recorded food purchases at 7 suburban taco times and 7 inside Seattle, Washington. Because Seattle recently passed a law requiring all fast food chains post their calories, fat, and sodium content to their menus. Okay? So once the law went into effect, public health researchers went around. They went and compared what people were buying at Taco Times inside and outside the city. Guess what? Contrary to the government's wonderful hypothesis, the Duke National University of Singapore Graduate Medical School found no difference. Listen to me. Eric Finkelstein of the Duke National University Singapore Graduate Medical School, in their comparisons of taco times inside and outside the city where the law was passed requiring fast food chains post their calories, fat, and sodium content to the menus, he said, we looked at the variables, the transactions, the total calories per transaction, food, dessert, entrees. We weren't able to find any effect whatsoever. These findings suggest that having the calorie information did not change public health behavior. Do you want to know why Seattle people get told to do lots of stuff lots of times. And there's going to come a time where someone says, you know what? I just want a freaking burrito. I walked into Taco Time because I kind of craved a taco. Let's put this into another perspective. You remember back when, I don't know, suddenly that big nutrition information item appeared on every package of every food, of every item in every grocery store? You remember when that happened? That was within 20 years. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you remember this? It's not like it's always been there. Do you realize there used to be packages of just Twinkies with nothing on it? Didn't have to say, Twinkie, 200 calories per serving, blah, 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 blah. Here's your fat, here's your sodium, here's your stuff, here's your blah. None of that was on a Twinkie. None of that was on a Coke. You just ate what you ate. You did what you did. But no, there was a tremendous obesity crisis. And you know what? If we put calorie counts and put serving sizes on every product and everything in the grocery store and take up 3/4 of a label doing so, we won't have a problem. Well, guess what? Obesity rates have continued to soar after prepackaged foods are required to carry that nutritional content. Does that mean that that nutritional content is not affecting people's decisions in what they eat? Yes, it is. That's exactly what it's saying. But it's also saying, are degenerative diseases on the rise? Maybe because the foods are becoming different themselves. Maybe mayonnaise is when they were created, such as Duke mayonnaise, which says, yes, yes, you heard right. I am attacking Duke mayonnaise. Duke mayonnaise on their site says, we have kept the original taste of the original recipe. We have kept the taste of the original recipe. That's right. That's all they can say. You know why? Because they changed the oil. When Duke mayonnaise was created by Mrs. Duke, soybean oil didn't exist. Duke National University of Singapore Graduate Medical School found that people, when faced with the Taco Times menu with the calorie counts right next to the item and Taco Times menu with the calorie counts nowhere near the item, people ordered the exact whatever the heck they wanted. Think about it. In your day, how many times you're forced to do something you don't want to do? You know what gets you to the point where you know what true success is? Doing whatever you want to do at any given moment. I've said that all of my life. I have a picture with that underneath it. The only true success is doing what you want to do. So that's a small portion of success when someone walks into Taco Time because they want a taco or a burrito. They get to say, I'm making this decision. I'm walking into Taco Time because I want a taco. I'm making a decision. This is my success at the moment. Doesn't it make sense that if we can make people have more successes, they can make better decisions as to what their success would be? Doesn't it make sense that if we can make each and every one of you more of a success and make you a gagillionaire, you could then have the time to seriously look at your decisions and choose wisely? That's what Fix the Family, Fix America is all about. Now, regardless, because of this study, understand, this study proved without a shadow of doubt, for 13 months, for a year and a month. Without a shadow of a doubt, for a year and a month, they studied it. No difference whatsoever. But guess what's about to happen all across this country is the exact same rule that Seattle ruled. Small restaurants are now going to have to post their nutritional information on the menus. And it's going to do one of two things. Nothing. Or it's going to make a restaurant embarrassed about a 2,000 calorie lunch. They may try to not make one, or go the opposite way. They're going to say this has 15,000 calories in it. And people are going to, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go order it if they want to eat it. That's kind of like freedom. I got a guy in a restaurant that I like. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Bob, you know what? I like stuff you cook. I'm going to come in here and order it because I like to eat your food. Oh, you're posting your calories on the menu now? So that hamburger I've been eating for 10 years is 750 calories? Okay, then. Now, to cut through some of the stuff that's going on in the world, I just showed you proof without it beyond a shadow of a doubt that those calorie counts on the menus and the calorie and nutritional information that they've placed on prepackaged foods within the last 20 years have done nothing to change the obesity rates of America. So therefore, it has to be something else. It has to be the foods that we're consuming, and there has to be ingredients inside the foods. Remember how they always said, you eat a big old breakfast, eat a medium lunch, and eat a little bitty tiny dinner, and you'll never ever have a problem. Guess what they're now saying? Dr. Volker Schuster-Zaria, a researcher from the Elsfrenzius Center of Nutritional Medicine in Munich, Germany, says, nine! He didn't actually say nine. He said, it's a common belief when you have a big breakfast, you reduce energy intake during the day. That's not true. Whatever you eat for breakfast doesn't influence lunch or dinner. The breakfast calories are added on top. You ended up with more calories at the end of the day. He did a study, ran 280 obese and 100 normal weight Germans, and recorded everything they drank and ate for 2 weeks. The subjects usually ate breakfast consisting of these four things: cereal, cornflakes, I don't know why that's not classified as cereal, sausage or bread, accompanied with butter and cheese. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I have that sausage, I'm going to put some butter on it. I don't know, cheese maybe, but or bread with the butter and cheese. Very strange. Anyway, Schuster-Zaria says you can get a lot of calories during breakfast already. So a big breakfast doesn't stave off hunger later in the day. It just piles on your calories is what he says. Now, what? And then he also says if someone doesn't need breakfast, why should they eat breakfast? If I don't feel hungry, I don't miss anything. They've already saved some breakfast calories. Now, that we know that in other studies to be untrue. People who do not eat breakfast usually have more weight problems than people who eat breakfast. Do you know why it's called break fast? Because you're doing that. You're breaking the fast. Guess when you ate last? Dinner, most of the people. Some people stay up till midnight, 2 a.m., bust out a whole round of potato chips and a half a pint of ice cream. And yeah, you might not need breakfast. But if you eat just at dinner at 6 o'clock and you go to bed at 10 or 11 or even 12, okay, you ate at 6, you wake up at 6. That's 12 hours without food. That's why it's called breakfast. You break the fast. You get your body back in go mode. How can they say most of your adult life, ladies and gentlemen, my smart audience, listen to me. How can they say your entire life, break fast is necessary, and then suddenly one amazing scientist out of Germany says no. Well, let's think about it. In today's modern society, if you ate dinner at 6 and you went to bed at 10 and 11, which is what actually the world used to go to bed at dark. So in the old days, you would go to bed at dark. And if it was winter, dark is 6, 7 o'clock. Summer, it's 9 o'clock. You wake up again when the sun comes up. Winter, 6 o'clock. Summer, 5 o'clock. I don't know. You need a big breakfast to get your body going. You've got a lot of stuff to do. Back in the day, you had a lot of farming. So come on. Break through the hype. Break through this whole thing that people are going to say. If you ate dinner and you've got a big old fast, get up, get yourself a breakfast. There's no ifs, ands, buts to this. Just don't put any soy in it. So you get the gist here, ladies and gentlemen. Disease in the diet, fix the family, make your body successful, make yourself a success, make your family a success, and that will take generations and generations down the road. Thus, making other families successful, neighborhoods successful, towns successful, cities successful, state successful, nation successful, country successful. The world successful. You're sitting there, oh, Jack, pity you with your dreams. Really, if we help our family, the world would be better. Really? Yes, that's what I'm saying. And yes, I have the dream that this is going to happen. The more educated, as we just shown, 86 pregnancies out of Memphis could have been prevented with education. That shows me that we can prevent even more across the country with more education and better parenting. Not more people running around going, no, baby! All right, so let's get to Parents of the Day. All right, Parents of the Day. We only got 6 minutes. This 2-hour show is exactly as fast as the 1-hour show to me. It was very fast. Okay, here we go. The parents of the day are actually an entire country. Yes, yes. Parents of the day are an entire country. Pakistan. However you want to say it, doesn't matter to me. Tomato, tomato, Pakistan, Pokemon. It doesn't matter. Anyway, killing of newborn babies are on the rise in Pakistan. Yep, killing of newborn babies are on the rise. Here's the underlying reason. Okay, let me just real quick. Lifeless bodies of two tiny babies being given their final bath before burial in Karachi after they're left to die in garbage dumps. They can only have been 1 or 2 days old. They're being gently washed by his colleagues at the charity's morgue. He's a volunteer worker, found 2 babies in the dumpster. They're finding more than 1,000 infants, most of them girls, in Pakistan last year, according to conservative estimates. In December alone, they found 40 dead babies left in garage dumps and sewers. Number of dead infants found last year, 1,210. Conservative estimate was up from 890 in 2008, 999 in 2009. They have recounted, people in this charity morgue has recounted discoveries of burnt bodies of 6-day-old infants who had been strangled. Another child was found on the steps of mosque, having been stoned to death. They now have a sign outside the charity. It says, "Do not murder, lay them here." In hopes the parents will abandon their unwanted children there instead of leaving them to die in dumpsters and sewers and garbage. But here's the part that no one's telling you from this headline. In the conservative Muslim, mostly Muslim nation, the birth of children outside of marriage is condemned, and adultery is crime punishable by death under strict interpretations of Islamic law. So infanticide is the escape of the Muslim faith under that law, which is punishable by death, in a child born outside of marriage or conceived in adultery. That's the part no one's telling you. So people leave the children because they're illegitimate. Because their laws are being so strict that the marriages outside of marriage, children being born outside of marriage, or anyone having adultery, they simply throw the baby away. Another reason they throw the baby away, because 9 out of 10 moms, ladies, everyone listening to the sound of my voice, the number 9 out of 10 of the dead babies found are female. Because they look to females as a greater economic burden, because women are not permitted to work and are considered to be financial responsibility of fathers, later their husbands. Every one of those children thrown into a dumpster and in the garbage or in the sewer to die could have been the person to come up with the solution to all of our ailments. This is the biggest, worst parent award Fix the Family, Fix America can give to an entire country. To an entire country living under one rule of law that looks upon a gender as a lesser human. But yet in this country, we're told to tolerate and accept. And yes, we are to tolerate and accept them doing whatever they want to do there. But that doesn't mean you have to do it in your own home. We are here to live as successful and as happy as we can be. And one of the greatest happinesses of our life is our family and our children. And that's what Fix the Family, Fix America is all about, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're here. I am Jack Hatfield, your host. So happy that you are here. This is our first show of 2011. This is our new 50% larger show. We'll be here every Tuesday, 8 o'clock. We've got some interviews for some great people coming up. We've got great bigger stuff happening. You're going to be able to see me out there live. You're going to look for me. I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry. Again, 50% larger may not just be enough. May have to do even further. But get your work done. Go home. Kiss your significant other on the lips. Kiss your child. Put them to bed. Grab yourself a wonderful libation. Sit down and relax in the peace and tranquility that is the family. And until next time, I am Jack Hatfield, your natural success. You can succeed. Everything you need to succeed is inside you before you were born. Thank you so much.